Hello again, everyone. This is Ron Ott with today's Inside Look at Sports. Now, here's a sport I never heard of. There are recruits and rivalries, championships, and iconic coaches. Sounds like just another day in the Big 12, but this is a sport unlike any other. What exactly is the high-stakes world of competitive meat judging? Think college football is in a cooler. Taylor Swartz stayed on the move as she considered the four pig carcasses hanging in front of her, their hooves pierced by gleaming silver hooks. A clockwise sweep to the left to gauge their exposed innards. A dip back to the right for a better view of the flanks dotted by inspection stamps. A plunge forward to inspect cash-veined hide up close. Her baggy blue jeans scraped the floor with every pass. Her blonde hair was braided and pulled back inside a red helmet, which it in itself is kind of in the background. Every 10 minutes, she and a dozen students with name tags pinned on their white lab coats rotate between a series of eight stations, each one bearing a different sampling of cuts to inspect. None of them said a word. A wall-mounted thermometer put the temperature at 36 degrees, cold enough for shirts to layer a red parka atop a hoodie beneath her frock, and to pull gray mittens on over her left hand, which she used to grip the clipboard the way a doctor carries a patient's chart. On it she scribbled shorthand and bubbled in a scanton that read, "Intercollegiate Meat Judging Contest Quality Grading." It was the Super Bowl Sunday, and Schertz, a Texas Tech sophomore, was entering her fourth hour in a walk-in cooler at Frontier Meats in Fort Worth, where she and 83 other students were comparing in the Southwestern Intercollegiate Meat Judging Contest. The following morning, Tech would be announced as the winner of the team competition, while Schertz would be named the high individual scorer, the second time she's done so in three competitions this semester. Midway through the 2019 season, which corresponds to the calendar year instead of the academic year, she is regarded as the meat best judge in the country. Intercollegiate meat judging is no sport you ever seen. Its core components, however, are intimately familiar to anyone who follows NCAA athletics. It's college football in a cooler, a world built around high school recruiting, top-notch facilities, competition for scholarships, rivalries, national championship, All-Americans, and professional scouts. The biggest difference? Here, college students aren't the meat market. They grade the beef. First, let's address the obvious question. No one actually eats the meat. People think we're in a meat lab grilling steaks, says Sam Davis, a senior animal science major at Kansas State who competed last year. And we're about to have a burger eating contest. Otherwise, intercollegiate meat judging is exactly what it sounds like. Colleges compete against one another so which team can best evaluate cuts of beef, pork, and lamb. In Fort Worth, students begin to spill out of their white passenger van at 5:45 a.m. By 7 a.m., they were in the cooler, where a panel of five event officials had spent the previous day setting up the eight stations or classes. Most classes call for judges to identify and order a series of cuts according to quality. One class, yielding grave, requires the judge to eyeball the amount of fat and muscle on the beef carcass down to the fractions of an inch. Then there's the specifications, in which judges evaluate whether a table of 10 cuts fits a checklist of United States Department of Agricultural standards. After 2 hours, competitors decamp to a warehouse room to sit down and explain why they judged the way they judged. Lunch breaks gave way to the afternoon sessions in which they repeated the morning routine. By mid-afternoon, the contest was over. Soon after, the officials issued each team's raw score as well as a rubric for how each class should have been graded. An awards banquet was held the following day before students headed home. A school can enter as many competitors as it pleases. Texas Tech, one of the 8 schools competing, sent 22 to Fort Worth, a quarter of the field. But only 4 judges' score counts towards the team's official total. A meat judging coach's greatest challenge is identifying which combination of teenagers can be dependent on in a given weekend. You can never pick the right team, Clay Bendelli, a judge in 2015's Texas Tech National Champion, and the Red Raiders coach 2 years ago, says with a sigh. Talent evaluations in difference in difficult times because a meat judge's competition window is so small. Rules limit students to 1 season of eligibility at the college level. Competitive meat judging traces its roots to 1926, when it was introduced at the International Livestock Exhibition in Chicago. For the first 70 years, it was governed by the National Livestock and Meat Board. Since 1996, it's fallen under the purview of the American Meat Science Association, which schedules 6 competitions each year, 2 in the spring and 4 in the fall. Headlined by the International Intercollegiate Meat Judging Contest in Dakota City, Nebraska, every November. It's the national championship. Winners are awarded belt buckles instead of rings. A 7th competition organized by the Houston Livestock Show each March completes the schedule of events. I'm not making this up, by the way. I'm reading this. 19 schools entered last year's international, but the heavy hitters traveled all 7 and mostly hail from agricultural hotbeds. Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, Colorado State, and Kansas State. Some meat judges begin as young as 9 years old through grassroots 4-H competitions. Think 7-on-7 football. Plenty are more start in high school, and the future Farmers of America circuit akin to the traditional high school athletics. But the most decorated intercollegiate meat judge of all time, Matty Ansley, took it up as a Texas Tech sophomore when she won 5 of the 7 contests in 2017. Meat judging is really you against yourself, says Dr. Mark Miller, Texas Tech's head coach. Your number one opponent is you. Because it's an objective thing, that you know all the answers to, it's a matter of you being able to put those together with the most precision. The skill set of a champion meat judge is both teachable and difficult to master. Quick decision making. The skill set of a champion meat judge is both teachable and difficult to master. Quick decision making, critical reasoning, self-assurance, and above all, the ability to quiet one's mind for upward of 6 hours standing in frigid temperatures in total silence. You have to fight your own demons in the meat judging cooler, says Aaron Baer, who judged on Texas Tech's 2015 team and coached in 2017. All of which, to the uninitiated, sounds a touch out there. Well, whenever outsiders ask about it, you just admit, yeah, it's really weird, says Kansas State's Davis, We freeze our butts off for 5 hours in a contest, and it is what it is. Just like their counterparts in the NCAA, plenty of judges will go pro in someone other than meat. Still, nearly 80% carve out careers in food and livestock industries, where corporate giants like Tyson Foods, Cargill Foods, and Hormel Foods all sponsor contests and eagerly recruit judges. None of them wind up as household names, but their work can become kitchen staples. Rodney Harkins, a former meat judge at Tennessee and coach at Kentucky, co-invented Lunchables and relaunched Slim Jims as the product that became globally famous. Regulatory agencies such as the USDA get into the game, too. We do hopefully glean some of the students off these judging teams because they could go right into my world and go to work, says Daryl Dowd, assistant to the national supervisors of the standard branch of the USDA. For the last decade, pro scouts have kept their eye on one school in particular. Taylor Schertz, as a Red Raider from the womb, her parents met at Texas Tech, students in the mid-90s. Taylor, the oldest of four girls, was conceived while her father, Michael, was in graduate school at Tech, an assistant coach for the meat judging team, which he competed for in 1995. Texas Tech was a program on the rise, and barely a decade removed from being meat judging's doormat. It took 44 years for the school to win its first major contest after the program was established in 1938. Today, the Red Raiders are the Alabama football of meat judging world. Under the guidance of Coach Miller, Texas Tech has reset the standards of collegiate meat judging excellence. Tech has captured 7 of the last 11 national championships, highlighted by a 3-year stretch from 2015 to 2017, in which it won a staggering of 19 of 21 major contests. The crown jewel came in 2017, when Tech became the first and only school to go undefeated since the major schedule expanded to 7 events in 1981. Says Travis O'Quinn, a Tech alumni who's now the coach and faculty sponsor of Kansas State's meat judging team, "What we've done ranks right up there with what John Wooden's UCLA Bruins did. That level of dominance is seldom seen in any athletic competition." There's no consensus of why exactly the Red Raiders are so unstoppable. There are unusual reasons that distinguish, say, college football's predators from the prey. Geography, for starters. They're in the heart of cattle country, said Down. Texas Tech's Lubbock campus sits just over an hour away from the Cargill Foods plant in Friona, Texas, where the teams hold practices every Friday afternoon with a fresh set of cuts to evaluate, the equivalent of extra live reps on the practice field. Several of their competitors travel at least twice as long to access something similar. There's also Red Raider Meats, a side business established in 1982 to recoup the cost of running meat judging teams by packaging and selling leftover teaching product as steaks, a $2.2 million auxiliary enterprise of Texas Tech that does retail and catering across the state. All proceeds funnel back into the program's endowment, which presently is in the neighborhood of $10 million. That in turn allows Miller to furnish scholarships to help defray tuition costs at a public school where most of his team already pays in-state rates. But according to O'Quinn, the easiest explanation for Texas Tech's dominance might be the most insurmountable of all. They just have a dire commitment to do more than what everyone else is willing to do consistently. The team decamps from Friona by 1 each Friday afternoon, returning to Lubbock around 8 or 9 that evening. The next morning, they're up at 4 a.m. in the cooler for Super Saturdays, an all-day gauntlet that simulates contest conditions and can stretch up to 12 hours. That's on top of 2 weekly practices squeezed in around students' class schedules. Outside of contest weeks, the cycle repeats itself every week in the academic year. It works. And nobody, from the students to the coaches, wants to be the team responsible for breaking the cycle of success. There's always going to be that pressure because you have the teams before you that have done so many great things, Shirt says. That same ethos pleads into all the talent acquisitions, where Miller is notorious for being the best closer in the business. He susses out targets using the same tactics as college football coaches. Miller scouts stat lines through judgingcard.com, a website that tracks results of every high school and college meat judging competition in the country. Otherwise, it's word of mouth through the network of high school coaches. Then there are pipeline programs such as San Antonio's Hondo High School and Clarendon College, both of which are coached by Tech alums. Miller also evaluates prospects firsthand at summer camps on Tech's campus. Lonnie Lortrick, 29-year-old PhD student and former All-American who competed for and later coached under Miller, got her first recruiting letters and Texas Tech swag as a high school freshman. Schurz was a Texas 4-H state champion as a high school senior in 2017. Her family ties to the university were so ingrained that she says, honestly, there was no other option for where she judged meat in college. But Miller still pursued her more relentlessly than other coaches did. There's nobody in the same ballpark as Mark Miller when it comes to recruiting, says Jeff Savelle, who until recently was Miller's counterpart at Texas A&M. Nobody. The Nick Saban of intercollegiate meat judging can often be spotted in a red fleece vest with his program's mantra, striving for honor in the pursuit of excellence while unselfishly serving others, stretch across the shoulder blades in the white font. Mark Miller was a Texas Tech junior in 1981 when Gordon W. Davis, the first coach to record a 6-0 season while at Texas A&M, moved to Lubbock to take on a moribund program. It amounted to Bear Bryant's choosing Kansas instead of Alabama once he left the Aggies. Miller competed for Davis that year, then learned at his feet as an assistant coach in 83 and 82. Along with he and a few friends and his wife Celia, raised the first $5,000 that now is an eight-figure endowment by working catering gigs all over town. Miller moved to Texas A&M to pursue a Ph.D. in meat science, and in 1987, he landed his first head coaching jobs at Georgia while serving as an assistant professor in meat science. By September 1999, he was back in Lubbock to succeed Davis as the head of the Red Raiders program. 12 championships nationally later, Miller's legacy is unimpeachable. He isn't just that he's captured every piece of hardware, but that he's done so in every imaginable way. Miller has won with novices like Ainsley and lifers like Luchurk, who won as many 4-H and FFA competitions while growing up that she estimates she earned $70,000 in scholarships and prize money, before ever setting foot on campus. Miller doesn't have a coaching tree so much as a coaching forest. Six of the other seven schools competing at Fort Worth had former Raiders on their coaching staff. Miller's quest for his 13th belt buckle now runs through former pupils. And now when Coach Saban has to face former disciples like Kirby Smart and Mark D'Antonio, says Orth, chairs of the Tech Animals and Food Sciences Department, with a grin. At 59, Miller was outlasted many of his contemporaries who've retired or lean on grad students to handle the buck of the grunt work. He will have none of it. He's still in the cooler every Saturday morning, still making every road trip. Miller admits that there was a time when all of this consumed him. He jokes about the Old Testament doc and the New Testament doc, with the latter suffering a former around 2007. The program had fallen into a rut, having captured just one championship in the decade after winning four in 1990. We always believed in doing the right thing and all those things, but we possibly didn't walk that very much, Miller says. We said, oh, winning is not important, but that seemed to be all that we were focused on. We weren't happy when we lost. We weren't joyful, and we weren't really good losers. When we stopped talking about winning and making that priority, and it was when we started having success, he said. That could be easily come off the coach speak from sports fanatics who keep a signed greeting from Lou Holtz near his office door. But New Testament Doc, for all his drive, is a man who takes his team to church every Sunday, grills them steaks at his house, fires off inspirational group texts, and becomes so enmeshed in their lives that Lurchett refers to Miller and Celia, who passed away in May of 2018, as their second set of parents. In a year since Celia's death, the meat judging community in Texas Tech has become ever more of a family for Miller. His support grew while grieving in his prayer team meetings during Sunday morning Bible studies at his church. Mark and Cecilia's birthdays fall 4 days apart in February. When Mark rolled around this year, his students and colleagues threw a huge party at his house so he wouldn't have to celebrate alone. Their importance in his life transcends any competition. I wouldn't be able to breathe without them, he says. Well, Texas Tech could no longer ignore reality after walking out of the coolers in Houston on March the 2nd, the final major competition of the spring semester. Houston was the Red Raiders' turf on their turf, an event that won 13 out of the last 14 years. This year they placed fourth. One of the most disappointing performers, shockingly, was Taylor Schertz, who cruised through most of the day only to undo it all with an error when she misjudged the age of a beef carcass. It plummeted the team out of first place and her individual score down from likely a top finish all the way to 36th. It was the fifth time in six major contests that someone other than Texas Tech had won, and for the first time in years, the Red Raiders appear vulnerable. Miller knew the day would come eventually, sooner or later. The rest of the meat judging world was bound to catch up. Nobody understands how winning 19 of 21 contests over a 3-year period and two national championships, that'll never happen again, he said. It's like the Dolphins' perfect season. There's too many good people and teams out there. O'Quinn got the same speech from Miller just before the Houston contest. He didn't buy a word of it. Even now, he told his mentor, we're all chasing you. 1 month after Houston, Miller's thoughts ricocheted between concerns and confidence. He wondered aloud whether he's a snake bit stuck in a pattern where none of his decisions break the right way. More than that, he was wary of his team's dipping back into old habits, so consumed with upholding the weight of the school's tradition that they lose sight of the bigger picture. And yet, he says, I felt like we actually won Houston, even though we didn't win. 6 of the top 13 individual scorers were Tech students, but they didn't choose the right 4 for submission. Miller suspects that this is the deepest group he'd had in years. His goal each season is to roll into a national championship with 11 or 12 judges he can depend on. This year, at the halfway mark, he feels he's already singled out 8, perhaps 9. It's mathematically impossible for his group to accumulate as much hardware as any of the 2015, 16, or 17 editions. But down to his core, Miller believes his team is on their level. These kids are as good or better than those teams. Probably better, to tell you the truth. I wouldn't be shocked if we swept this fall. After all he needs now is for the results to catch up. Miller knows better than anyone that if they do, it will be because of moments like the one in Fort Worth, hours before he learned that Tech had won the competition. He sauntered into the cooler, huddled his team together, and marshaled them through each station, stopping to field questions and issuing gentle corrections. After 15 minutes, he arrived in a room where Schertz had examined the pig carcasses. He paused near a plastic table, lying with hams, planted his feet, and pivoted towards the students. They were clustered in a half moon. Schertz was in the middle. And as he spoke, the coach was nothing more than a teacher, smiling warmly in the bitter cold. If only I had known when I was growing up that I could be a championship meat judger, my, I would appreciate steaks and pork chops a heck of a lot more. Well, that's it in sports for today. I'm Ron Ott.